Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here today. I'm here with my co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And we're going to be talking about a huge, absolutely huge medical problem that 50% of women and a large percentage of men will experience at some time throughout their lives. And most people, over 50% of those who experience this problem, really don't seek treatment or get treatment. So let me set all this up and then we'll go back and forth. Do you worry about taking a long car trip because you have to pee so often? Is it so severe that you don't want to go to social events any longer because you're afraid that you might smell? We know that landfills show 18 million tons of adult diapers, and 7% of the garbage that is in the landfill are adult diapers. 2% of the garbage are children's diapers, babies' diapers, but that is not as significant because the babies grow out of it, whereas the adults are not learning how to control their urine or their bowels. 40% of adults have this problem. It affects women to a higher degree, but also men. And in the elderly, it affects 70% of the population. And it is a major cause of people going to nursing homes because the family is not able to deal with the incontinence and care for their elderly family members appropriately. So what do you think? We've got a problem. We're talking about urinary incontinence. We're going to ask for you to call in and share your thoughts, your questions, because we know that this really is not, this as a problem is not very often. As a matter of fact, it's avoided in most medical visits. And part of it is that it is a very long subject and it has sort of confusing solutions. And it takes research and working with a practitioner to get the results. The number to call in and speak with us is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. But before I go to Carol, I want to say, call our donation number or go on WBAI.org and go to give to WBAI, and you will be able to become one of our sustaining members, one of our partners. Remember, this is a greater than 60-year-old experiment. And that experiment and that contract is between us, between the practitioners, between the producers, and between the audience. And you have been our sponsor for 60-some years, and we need your help right now. So with our challenges, our financial challenges, we'd really like you to become a sustaining member. $5 a month, $10 a month, $25 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can afford that really does not hurt or injure your income, it is also tax deductible, and you will receive a WBAI tote bag. It's very interesting. When you're walking down the street with this tote bag, you'll see people walking by you with a big thumbs up and a big smile, because this WBAI is a community station, and people throughout the city know that and understand that. The number to call to become a sustaining member is 212-209-2950. But the number to call to speak with us is 212-209-2877. And I'm going to pass it to Carol. Where do we go from here, Carol?
Well, I'd like to start with a little bit of a story. I was at one of our national pharmacist meetings. And normally, I don't really care for the programming because I think it's a lot of propaganda. But I happened on this lovely nurse practitioner talking about this very subject, urinary incontinence. And she, I believe, was from Philadelphia. She worked at one of the universities there. And I learned more about urinary incontinence than I ever had. So let's start at the beginning. So as we're aging, we make jokes about this. We make jokes about jumping or exercising hard or laughing hard. We're already having an inability to hold back little dribbles of urine. This is an early warning sign, and what I'm often speaking with practitioners, I'm saying, please, please, please make sure you ask your patients that question. It's not a joke. And this is where it all starts. It's your first red flag, easily overturned and should not be ignored. And if I might interject what the solution is at this point, It's testosterone. You're actually going down in testosterone, and the integrity of your organs, the bladder, the urinary tract, the whole bit, even the opening to your vagina is very, very rich in testosterone receptors. So it's an early sign that your body's breaking down, and you could do an easy intervention at this point and avoid long-term problems. So this nurse practitioner also, rather like what you said, Corinne, she said that the number one selling product in pharmacies is actually adult diapers, which is very, very shocking. And she also cautioned against avoiding the use of adult diapers when you're having bladder leakage. Some use like sanitary napkins, but she said they're not designed to hold the volume of fluid that you get from urine leakage. They're simply not. And this is such a burden economically on families. We don't hardly even touch on that. She said she was driving around her neighborhood in Pennsylvania, and she saw adult diapers, the disposable adult diapers, were hanging on clotheslines to dry out and use again. Pretty shocking to me.
They wouldn't hold much or protect much when they've already been washed.
Right. We have a caller already.
Let me just say two things. First of all, leakage is common, but it's not normal. And it's something to address, and there's multiple ways of addressing it. And we've got to remember, it's not a life-threatening problem. It's a quality of life-threatening problem that lowers your ability to be in groups, it reduces your desire to be with, be social, reduces your desire to experience sexual relationships. And it's a number one cause of depression. So let's go to the caller, and then we're going to talk about some solutions. solutions. Also, we've got a few. Hello, you're live.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
My name is Rick. I'm calling from Baltimore, New York.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your name.
My name is Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
So, I got to say, this is the first time I've been able to get through to BAI. I've tried unsuccessfully and several times to try to key in on various things. I'm so ecstatic, and I love your program. I love Take Charge of Your Health. But I have a situation with my wife. She had stage 4 lung cancer, went from the lung to the brain about 4 years ago. They didn't give her much time to live, and she made a miraculous recovery from the cancer. There's no active disease progression. But what happened last year was she began to get hyponatremia, and they couldn't put the finger on it. She ended up in an extended stay program. I got her out of there when my insurance ran out. So there I am having to deal with incontinence, and it's just been a hassle. And then it's just a tremendous burden. I'm caring for her. I had to stop working, and man, oh, man, it is. Anytime, what had happened was they said that her pituitary gland got damaged from some whole head radiation about 3.5 years ago. She didn't have a lot of whole head radiation, but it did the trick. And but they said her pituitary gland is probably damaged. She has what they call FAIDH, or something like that, symptom of inappropriate hormone secretion. And so everybody I talked to is saying, and I kind of resolved myself to saying, yeah, there's no cure for this. There's no nothing. And when I came on to go to the store, run an errand, and I got on your program, I'm like, maybe you can sound off on this and you can tell me what you might know about this situation.
Well, that, Carol, do you want to start?
Yes, I want to start.
Putting together this list in my mind. So.
This is... this is just an excellent example where I was just talking about testosterone being something that would potentially be very, very useful. You can have a pan-pituitary situation when your pituitary doesn't work. Sometimes a tumor is taken over. Sometimes the pituitary actually atrophies. So she had some active damage to it. You also can get active damage from head injuries. So this is not a situation that we've never heard about before. So what you do is you measure all the downline hormones. She should be checked with a complete thyroid panel. She should be checked for all her adrenal hormones. She should be checked for all her sex hormones. She should be checked for vitamin D. She's not going to get the proper signaling from the pituitary to make all those hormones. The really wonderful thing for the first part in human history, we can top off those hormones. And I would guarantee that she's suffering some severe shortages and her quality of life could be absolutely much better than it is. Can you reverse the incontinence issue? I don't know, but I think it would be certainly worth a try using the androgenic hormones like DHEA and testosterone. Corinne?
Uh-huh. I'll definitely sign that off. I'll sound that off to her nephrologist.
Wow.
And I understand that from years ago and years of listening to WBAI, there's a difference between the TRH panels because they always measure her thyroid and say, yeah, it's okay. But they don't do the TSH anymore. Nobody does the TSH.
Or they're doing, and let me expand on what you just said. TRH is a hypothalamic hormone, and you can do a test with that, which would be a good test for her pituitary function if it's not been done. You inject TRH, thyroid releasing hormone, and then you take samples of the blood to see what kind of TSH levels you can get afterwards. You do it at various intervals, half hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, etc., to see what the pituitary can do. And it's very likely, given the circumstance, she's flatlining. And it's a big indicator she needs thyroid help.
And there's So now I think that overlooking the hormones is a serious problem in your wife's case. I don't think your nephrologist will respond to this problem. You're going to probably have to go to an endocrinologist, but he can probably direct you. But there's other thoughts I have. You know, the signal going down through the autonomic nervous system is very much related to B1, thiamine. Mm-hmm. And most people are very deficient in thiamine. So I would work and get adequate B vitamins with extra thiamine and see if she gets better neurologic response. And that neurologic response, some of the urinary incontinence has to do with a neurologic response from the brain, from the pons, right near the pituitary. So looking at that. Another thing is excess fluids. Now, there's some fluids that really create excess urination. One of those is coffee. We all know that. The other is tea. We also know that. We've all experienced that. But also sodas, and any form of alcohol, which I can't imagine she's drinking much. But there are also some herbals that might be, oh, this is the next thing that I think is essential. And it might stimulate nerve action. And what we're talking about is something that was developed in 1948 by Dr. Kegel. And they're called Kegel exercises. And they're literally a contraction of the pelvic floor holding for 3, 5, 10 seconds and then releasing it. Now there's a way to do it that it's more effective. And you start squeezing from the bowel area and then move toward the vaginal area. So you're just moving down and you pull and you hold. And they have found that they have had a 75% success rate with just that exercise after 7 to 8 weeks. So it takes consistency, but working with that, I don't know if she'll ever get complete control, but there's a very strong possibility that with the extra B vitamins, with the B1, and with the exercise, she might awaken some nerve reactions and be able to.
That's pretty amazing. And I'm familiar with the Kegeling from giving her Lamaze instruction from years ago when we had kids. And Lamont, you're practicing the Kegel. So that's definitely, thank you for pointing me in the right direction, because I was not given any hope. I got a 6-month waiting just to see an endocrinologist at NYU Langone in the Garden City. It's pretty amazing. But I'm going to get on it. And I thank you so much for pointing me in the right direction.
Good luck.
Thank you, Rick, for calling.
And so, Carol, where do we go next? I think a lot I have an outline in front of me. We went off the outline, but it was.
That's okay. Let me continue with my story. Okay. So I wanted this nurse practitioner, and I wish I had her card in front of me that I could give her full credit. She talks about this interesting thing she calls 2 P's. And she said, we often go to urinate. And it seems like we empty our bladder, but before we even leave the bathroom, we have a little more urgency and we need to release even more pee. And that extra pee should also be gotten rid of, because if you leave urine sitting behind in your bladder, there's dangers of having having more infection because the urine stagnates there somehow. I was reminded one day about this woman who used to come to the pharmacy I was working at. I always remember her because she had two little girls she called Squeaky and Boo. And anyway, how this relates to the story, I saw a lot of her. She had continued urinary tract infections. And she said finally she went to have a workup on what was going on with her. And she said she went into the office and they filled her bladder with water. They were filling, and they told her to signal like when her bladder was so full that if she were driving in a car, she'd want to find someplace to go and urinate. Anyway, they couldn't believe how much water her bladder could hold because she had it so distended. And why did she have it so distended? Because of Squeaky and Boo. They kept her so busy. She was holding on to her urine all the time and was not taking the time either to urinate or do the second pee. They found like her second pee would hold almost a liter of water. It was incredible. She got some relief, but it was because she had to make lifestyle adaptations on how and when she was urinating.
And that's what most of us have to do, is we really do have to make some lifestyle adjustments. We know that, I mean, how often do we go to the bathroom every 2 to 3 hours? That's a very normal range. Many people go every 8 hours, and that's very hard on the bladder. Remember, the bladder is a muscular vessel for storage. It really doesn't have any other function other than storage. And when it's holding too much fluid, it's stretching. And then it can hold more and more and more. And then you get what they call, there's different types of incontinence, urinary incontinence. And then you can get what you call overflow incontinence, where exactly as Carol was explaining, the bladder gets so full that on one level it releases, but the other level it can't release completely because it's a contraction and the muscle has been weakened by all the stretching and the contraction. So it doesn't allow the rest of the urine out completely. And that is also a form of incontinence. But you find that often in people who work. I had a woman that used to come in to me with chronic urinary tract infections. She worked on Wall Street. She, at this time, this was about 20 years ago when the floor was very big. It was before all the internet trading. She couldn't even get up from her seat and if she missed a call, it was serious. So she literally was working so much, she was getting urinary tract infections consistently. One would go away, another would start. And that's just because she had turned off her signal from the brain that said, it's time for me to urinate. And that was overflow incontinence. Now, there is also a stress incontinence, and that is when it's with all of them, but specifically when the pelvic floor is so weak that there's pressure on the bladder. And this can be caused by multiple things. It can be caused by fibroids. It can be caused by pregnancies. It can be caused by hysterectomies. Why? There's no pressure. Well, because our organs in our pelvic area are being held in place, and they're held in place by each other. When you remove the uterus, there's nothing to secure the bladder, and the bladder begins to droop.
And or the ovaries, yep.
Or the the ovaries, bladder and ovaries. And what happens is what they call a bulging of the vaginal walls. And that can be in the front where the urethra is, the tube that releases. The vaginal wall is supposed to be holding that urethra tight. But if it bulges, it's called the cystocele, and there's no pressure to help the urine release. So it can't hold it. It can't hold tightly enough to hold back the urine when the bladder is full.
Well, back to my story. So there's two classes of drugs that are used for urinary incontinence, anticholinergics and beta-adrenergic drugs. Anyway, the anticholinergics are very anti-secretory in nature, and they create dry mouth, create dizziness, loss of balance, head fogginess. And so what happens to this poor person who is now incontinent, not only do they have the urine problem, now they have a drug problem. And so this affects their ambulation. They have trouble walking around. And the sequelae in the nursing home is you put patients on these drugs to try to reduce the rate of urine flow, sort of basically dry them up, and they fall. And now you have somebody who's injured with a fall and can't get out of bed. And it's pretty much spelling the end of them. And it all started out with that little leakage back in midlife when you were jumping around and doing jumping jacks or laughing heartily at somebody's joke. It's also another class of drugs, beta adrenergic drugs. And we just had a couple weeks of drugs that are used for hypertension. And these classes of drugs, adrenergic, means we're blocking the effect of adrenaline. So the hormone adrenaline has a big impact on the bladder, making it irritable or making it less functioning less well. So if there's like spasming and things going on with the bladder, this type of drug may be used, and it's adrenal driven. So we should be looking at adrenaline and how we can imagine how manage adrenaline, which is tied up with our insulin glucose situation, and our big tendency towards insulin resistance might be driving some of this. And then we have this high proportion of our population who don't break down adrenaline very well. And these are people who don't methylate very well. And so we have doctors routinely checking genetic profiles for your ability to methylate. And it's estimated about 40% of the population actually doesn't do this well. So you get this adrenaline going and you can't turn it off. And this can have a definitive effect on your bladder, so much so that they will choose drugs to help block adrenaline. So what can you do to help block adrenaline? Well, one is to avoid stress as much as you can. You can use supplements that give you methyl groups. You can manage your insulin glucose so you don't get the adrenaline started in the first place. And progesterone, the hormone progesterone, is a great moderator of adrenaline.
We also see that diabetics have a 200% increase of incontinence. And Carol brought it up, and it's very often due to elevated insulin and insulin resistance. And that connects to a B1 deficiency. B1 is necessary for breaking down blood sugar. When the blood sugar sugar is elevated, the B1 gets used up, the thiamine gets used up, and what ends up happening is that the nerve control to the periphery, to the feet, to the fingers, to the bladder, has now been reduced. We see very often that if we pull people off of carbs, oh, don't eat wheat, don't eat sugar, don't eat grains, their excess urination can reduce significantly or resolve itself depending on what level it's at the time. If it's at an early stage, that might be where you need to go. So to add B1 to lower your carb and manage your blood sugar. But then there are some other things that we really need to look at. And number one, and it's like someone comes in and says, they haven't had a period, and you do all these workups for them, but and you forget to check whether they're pregnant or not. So the first thing is to check for infections. Even low-level infections. Now, in young people, urinary tract infections are very painful. They go into the doctors because they have pain and they need treatment. But in older people, they don't have the sensitivity in their tissue. So they don't really feel the pain. What they feel is confusion. What they feel is lack of ability to hold their urine. And sometimes they walk around in a stupor. And you treat them for a urinary tract infection, and you see it resolve itself. It's quite powerful. It's surprising when you see it and you see it happening. So I agree with Carol completely. And I want to explain a little more carefully why hormones are so important. First of all, testosterone, there are multiple receptors for testosterone. But what does testosterone do? It, of the hundreds of things it does, I'm going to focus on just one of them. And actually two. And what it does is it helps build muscle. It helps build strength in vaginally. So when I had patients that had a prolapse or were having difficulties with their urination, I would give them testosterone. They could rub it or insert it vaginally, and we would see responses quite rapidly. So there's that. There's also progesterone, as Carol stated, also, which helps the body relax and release urine. And then there's estrogen. And the interesting thing about estrogen is estrogen could be a cause of the problem. But when they give estrogen, just estradiol, they really saw minimal, if any, improvement. When they gave estriol, they were able to see some improvement. But with just the standard estrogen, they saw no improvement. Carol?
So many years ago, I forget if it's 1993, 1997, New England Journal of Medicine published a study, and it was using a small amount of estriol, E-S-T-R-I-O-L. I think it was 0.6 milligrams, 0.6 milligrams per dose. And the cohort of women that they were looking at were women who were elderly and had chronic urinary tract infections. A short course of estriol turned that around very quickly. Speaking to a doctor one day on the phone, and he told me he was taught that estriol, not estradiol, is the most potent estrogen for the urinary tract in the vaginal area. He said it's 800 times stronger than estradiol there. And I would believe it. So that provoked a lot of compounding with estriol. Estriol is not available in an FDA-approved drug product. You have to get it with a compounding pharmacy, or there are a few over-the-counter products to really turn around that tissue and help the health of that tissue. And it can be miraculous. I've seen it just take a few weeks of regular treatment and then a maintenance dose of a very small amount. It really is quite potent. And so why that isn't well established in our drug pharmacopoeia right now is shocking, really. It's in Europe as an approved drug product. So it's an important estrogen. It's the most effective for urinary tract health and your vaginal health. And it's harder to access.
The number to call in and ask questions and give us some of your thoughts. The number to call is 212-209-2877. It's 212-209-2877. We'd love to hear from you. This is a topic that about 4 years ago we brought it up, and we had so many calls and people text us and send emails on the importance of this as a topic, because it really isn't being addressed adequately. It's a very frustrating area of health that isn't being addressed. And we also have the situation where it's a little embarrassing, so people don't want to talk to their doctors about it. So you're in betwixt and between. So there are some other types of treatments for this. One is a nerve stimulation that happens with acupuncture. Only it's an electrostimulated acupuncture, so it's very, very mild. It's a little charge that goes through the acupuncture needle. And the needle is placed at the base of the ankle, right behind the bone in the ankle, the large bone in the ankle, the mediola. And then it is stimulated, and it's kept there for about 10 minutes. And they've seen some very good assistance, particularly with nighttime urination. Oh, and speaking of nighttime urination, don't drink large amounts of fluid before bed. It's not necessary, and it will create nighttime urination. So you want to, about 3 hours before bed, you can drink what you would like to. But after that, really, don't drink large amounts, or you're going to be up all night, urinating all night. There also are surgeries, but that's the last place you want to go. It's not the first place. And surgery only helps stress incontinence. And the stress incontinence is where the bladder is prolapsed, or it's been lowered into the vaginal cavity there, rather than up in the area. And that can be caused by multiple things. We already spoke about it, but it can be caused by constipation, where there's lots and lots of pressure to pass bowel, and that can push the bladder down and create a prolapse. So there is, it's called, it's a mild surgery. It can be done with a material that literally what they're doing is they're holding up the urethra, literally, or it can be done with your own tissue. They're also using PRP, platelet-rich plasma injections, to help the tissue build up again. So if you put hormones together with platelet-rich plasma, you're going to have a very different effect than if you use platelet-rich plasma and absolutely no hormones. But there's one other thing, and this is essential, is proteins. You're not going to build muscle without proteins. You know, if you give the hormone testosterone, you'll build some muscle, but you need the proteins. And as we age, it gets harder and harder to digest and eat enough protein. And the protein drinks that you see that are protein this or egg protein or whatever, what you're dealing with is about 17% absorption of most of those, down to 12% absorption. So I always like to give my patients the perfect aminos that we had on here before. So you've got the protein, you have the building block of building muscle, as well as the hormone that stimulates building muscle, as well as PRP or not into that area to stimulate that specific area to build muscle and build more tissue. And you've got a whole different relationship to stress incontinence. So I would love to hear from you. The number to call is 212-209-2877. Oh, I almost forgot the number. 212-209-2877. But we'd also like you, we've got a few minutes. We'd love you to call in and become our buddy. We know you're there. We hear you when you call in regularly. We would love you to become a buddy. It would help BAI. It would help us continue. What a heartache it would be to not have this station. We need your help. The number to call is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, or you could go on the internet and go to give2wbai.org, and you'll go right into a donation page and you can become our buddy. You already are, but let's make it official. Let's put a tote bag on it. So you get your tote bag, you walk through the street, people see that you are a supporter. And that's a proud place to be. So the number to call to share, well, we're getting late to get, well, no, we've got some time for more calls. 212-209-2877. That will be to call and ask us questions about urinary incontinence. We know many of you suffer from this. I mean, right down to laughing or sneezing. Forget jumping on a trampoline or trying to do jump rope with your kids, even when you're younger. But when you're younger is the time to start. Now, Carol, you know, when I was researching to put together this, and I came across an herb. I have never used it, but the profile on it.
Oh, maybe we should go to our callers instead. We've got two.
Oh, I didn't see that. Hi. Yeah. Hi.
How are you?
Your name?
I just want Billy, but I have comments on, I know women who have multiple children have later developed complications. And I had a friend whose husband was in the 80s, and he developed an enlarged prostate and never took care of it and developed complications. So what I hear, salt palmetto and some other things, if you don't want to take Flomax or other things. She was trying different medications. But what do you recommend for men who are older who have enlarged prostates? Surgery, medication, herbal? And what should women do who have multiple births and have complications?
Well, those are big questions.
Let me jump in. I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. So we are treating men with enlarged prostates with a drug that is an altered progesterone molecule. Progesterone could be used to help shrink that enlarged prostate. It has to be in generous doses, 200-300 milligrams. This is also an insulin problem with insulin resistance. So diet modification is really, really important. It's an estrogen dominant type of symptom, too much estrogen stimulation. And there's multiple things you can do to look into that, find out why there is so much estrogen stimulation. So it's very strange that these drugs alter a progesterone molecule, but never treat men with the real molecule that would be extremely helpful. And then men do have surgery, and they might have new incontinence that they never had before because of the surgery. It's quite a horrific situation. So I would say consider getting a workup with all the hormones. And really, truly, they're also in the situation you're testosterone deficient. Corinne?
Yeah, he was in his 80s, and so she was using a catheter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And which is sometimes necessary. See, it all depends on what stage you're at. You know, holistic treatments and many of the treatments take time. But you start now and you're putting in the time. I always like this formula. I love salt palmetto. Very good studies behind salt palmetto. And treatment. But there's also an herb out of Vietnam called crinum. And I like that, and I've seen very good results with that also. And I get that from the formula with allergy research, which I'm not affiliated with, which I wish I was, but I'm not. And it's called Healthy Prostate, Healthy Ovary. And it's a very, very good formula. You're not, and B6, but you're not going to get instant, you take the pill tomorrow, you're better. You have to commit to it, keep on taking it. And even if you need other treatments, you keep on taking it because it is working. It works slowly. And when it's very progressed, you're going to have, because that's hypertrophy. That's enlarged tissue. It's very hard to get circulation into that area.
Okay, I'm younger. My friend said this is what you have to look forward to. And for the women who are having multiple births,
I hope not. You have to look forward to
it. Howard Stern joked when he interviewed Bruce Springsteen, and he said, "How do you have those 3-hour shows?"
Yeah, that's right. Even the rich and famous don't always get some of the answers they could.
Get the quality. Really exactly. He's quite holistic, I think. I do, as far as I know, he's does a lot for his health. So just, you know, but start now. You're young. Start now. Start treating. Start working and making sure your urinary habits are good. And also, saw palmetto is a wonderful herb. And it helps balance the hormones and the reaction on the prostate. So it would be good to start now.
So I can avoid it. I just want, there are a lot of women who have multiple children and then develop incontinence. So we want to speak to those women who celebrate. Mother's Day isn't enough to celebrate what they go through.
Well, thank you. The things that do happen, though, are muscular weakness and depletion of hormones in general as women age. And we don't have this generalized use of hormones. I think we should be testing those right off just as much as we would do a blood chemistry, because there are so many shortages. Like progesterone could be used for prolapse. We talked about how important testosterone is to the opening to the vagina and the whole bladder, urinary tract tree. So that should be looked at. There's deficiencies going on there, and you don't have to put up with it. And if you're going to a doctor who says you're getting old, and that's okay, all you can do about it, yeah, run out of that office. Find somebody else, because there are others.
Thank you for your call. I think there's someone else there. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Now, got just a couple of minutes, unfortunately. So can you tell us what how we can help you? Your name, please?
There's a couple of things that you haven't mentioned that I'd like your opinion on. There's a urologist at Mount Sinai Hospital who does Botox injections, which will help when prescription drugs do not help anymore. That's one thing. I'll just go through my list. three things. The other thing is I met a Chinese woman who had a very bad problem. She had a and she did Qigong, and she said that helped her. It helped her immensely. And then the third thing, I've seen some advertisements by a physiologist on internet with shoulder exercises, and they I'm a massage therapist, and since the urinary bladder runs from the neck, the meridian runs from the neck down to your little toe all down the back, this would help stimulate that, you know, by acupressure and exercise.
We mentioned that there about the meridian when I spoke about the electrical stim with the acupuncture needle right behind the ankle, and that is exactly where the urinary bladder meridian goes. So stimulating that bladder right at that point can be very effective, and we agree with it. And it has been shown to be very effective. And then there was exercise in terms of Qigong. Qigong is this wonderful movement that involves all the muscles in the body, the belly, the pelvis, the thighs, the calves, the ankles, the fingers, the shoulders, the back, the neck. All of those are being stimulated so beautifully. And she probably, with that motion, was able to strengthen her whole pelvic area, which is really quite wonderful. Now, I'm sorry that it works out this way, but I'm going to have to say goodbye, because we're at the end of our time and we can't go over. So thank you so much. Please do become a BAI buddy, and you can go into give2wbai.org, and you could sign up to become our buddy. We know you are, and we really appreciate your calls, and we appreciate our audience. We really love working with you. So, I'm Corinne Fornari, Physician Assistant Clinical Nutritionist. My website is corinnehealth.com. And Carol?
My site is thewellnessbydesignproject.com. And you can find lots of information there. And we also have a Facebook page, Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol.
And you can leave comments there, and we'll get back to you. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
For WPFW in Washington.